goes on. Beat goes on. Drums keep pounding a rhythm to the brain. La da 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 dee. La da 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 da. Charleston was once the rage. Goes on, goes on. Drums keep pounding a rhythm to the brain. La da 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 dee. La da 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 da. The grocery store, the supermarket. Still keep on marching off the war. Technically they keep a baseball score. And the beat goes on. The beat goes on. Grandma's sitting chairs and reminisce.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Armchair Survivalist. Today is March the 8th in the year 2020. I wanted to start the show with a very astute observation from Sonny and Cher. The beat goes on. History has turned the page, but the beat goes on. In my life, I have realized that the worst case scenario is always in my head. I have never seen a worst case scenario occur in my life from things that are threatening me. Even if half of us die from this virus, even if society and civilization is slammed to a short and hard stop, the beat will go on. Boys will still be chasing girls. History will still continue, whether you like it or not. It goes on. So what I'm trying to say is that in spite of everything that's happening around you, realize that this is life. You're part of it. Things are going to happen to you good. Things are going to happen to you bad. Que sera, sera. You just got to roll with it. Anyway, I just wanted to get that out of the way. You know, I hope it made some people feel better. The idea is don't freak out. I see this in my store here in Hayden, Idaho. I see it at Costco. I see it at Winco. I see it at Fred Meyer's and Super One and Safeway and Albertsons and all these other stores where people come in with this blank stare and you can feel their fright. And then they go buy toilet paper, duct tape, I mean, all kinds of weird stuff. Everyone has their own idea. That's fine. You should have done all of this already, right? You knew that I was going to say that. You should have done all this already. Don't be so super afraid of what's coming. The problem we have is that we're humans, and humans are fallible, and many of us are just downright stupid. Anyway, welcome to my show. If you go to armchairsurvivalist.com, any page there, armchairsurvivalist.com, scroll down, and you'll see all the different ways you can listen to me. You can listen Global Star 3 satellite. You can listen there. Listen in my chat room, armchairsurvivalist.com. Just click on where it says listen in my chat room. Listen on your phone. This is not toll-free, so you'll pay for the call unless you're smart and have one of those unlimited calling plans. And the number is area code 641-741-0371. That's 641-741-0371. I'm on every podcast venue you can think of. I'm on YouTube as well, iHeartRadio, Anchor, FM, Google Play, Apple Play. Well, I have so many of them, I don't even know what all I got. And then if you know what to do with it, I have my RSS feed right there. You can hook up to that somehow, wherever, you know, whatever you do. I'm also archived internationally at the Internet Archive online. And I have all the links here. And if you miss a show and you want to listen to my past shows, well, on the left-hand side of any of my pages there, you'll see the little white nipper dog listening to the RCA Victor gramophone. You just click on that. That'll take you to a page that says the Armchair Survivalist Past Shows. And I have there all of the shows that I've done for the current year. You're welcome to download them, play them, what have you. You can also, on all of the podcast venues that I have, you can listen to all the old shows, and you can also download them from there, too. I don't know all the minutiae of doing all of that electronic stuff. I don't pay attention to it. Everything I talk to you about on my show, I post. On the left-hand side, you will see links, home, chat room, show notes, and then my company, Survival Enterprise. You click on show notes, it'll take you to a page that lists the dates of the shows that I've done. And it gives you a little title, like Stupid Things People Do, Lugol's Iodine, Psych Drugging of Our Kids, Psych Drugging of Our Soldiers. And some of those have a little italicized sentence in red. It's Wuhan Coronavirus Update. And it started in February 2nd. If you click on any of these dates, say February 2nd, you click on that, that'll take you to a page that is February 2nd. It's show notes for February 2nd. I have all my links there that I talked about. In fact, February 2nd, I have a basic briefing there that I put together for people. So there's that. Okay. That's how you listen to me. Oh, let's see some news for the business. Not much. We are distributors of cold steel weapons. These are very heavy-duty, world-known blades. And I have normal working knives, skinning knives, hunting knives. I have katana swords. These are real battle-ready weapons. These aren't cheap stuff, believe me. And I also have cold steel walking sticks or canes. That doesn't mean they have a blade inside the handle. It means they're, like 11 layers of fiberglass, closed-cell polypropylene. These things are so strong, you can destroy a vehicle with one and not put a scratch on the cane. That's how heavy-duty these are. They're weapons, right? But they're still TSA-approved. That's a good point. We still can't take credit or debit cards here because we're in the state of Idaho, and the state of Idaho said, and South Dakota, two states, they didn't conform to the U.S. Department of Agriculture rules that Trump laid down for growing hemp yet. They're working on it. So the financial institutions decided they didn't like anybody selling CBD oil here now. So everybody who sells CBD, who isn't a $1 million a month company, they cancel their credit card charging ability. But we can take checks, and we can take checks over the phone. You call us on a phone, you give us a routing number, your bank account number, the number of that check that you want to use. And then we can take your order and ship it out to you. And by the way, I got to give you the number right now, 800-753-1981. That's my company, Survival Enterprises. You go to survivalenterprises.com or, to make it simple, SE1, the numeral 1.us. You go there, you poke around, go to the health department, you will see all the stuff that we have. And I've talked about the products that we have that are antiviral, antimicrobial, the oregano oil, the colloidal silver, the ultimate immune boost, the Handy Guard. The Handy Guard is a hand spray that not only sterilizes your hand like any dollar store hand sanitizer would do, but it moisturizes your hand with some organic silicone. If some people have allergies to latex gloves, well, this makes you impervious to latex gloves, so your hand's protected. And your hand is also sterile for 2 to 4 hours. The laboratory's tested it up to 8 hours. But in real life, you'll be scratching, you're putting your hand in your pocket, picking things up, moving things around. So I figure about 2 to 4 hours, your hands will maintain sterility. That's where you can find all that stuff. Okay, now we're going to get into the economy. Everybody's been watching the stock market this week, And yes, the stock market goes up 1,000 points and down 1,000 points and up 900 points and down 900 points and then up and then down and then up and then down. The plunge protection team is working overtime, let me tell you. Some of the things that I noticed were treasury bonds. These are the things that countries all over the world buy. It's like a 1 year, 5 year, 10 year treasury bond, 30 year bond, because it's guaranteed by the U.S. government. It's gotten so bad that the 10 year treasury bond is paying less than 1%. So if a country puts in $20 billion into a 10 year treasury bond, they're going to make less than 1%. And I haven't looked at it in the past few days, so it's probably lower than that. I'm going to tell you something. Last time the stock market did this, what it's doing right now, was when we had the first socialist president, FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and he confiscated all the gold that civilians were holding. Literally, he really did that. And, you know, what's funny is millennials don't know that because it's not taught in history. Just a few of them do. The Federal Reserve, the Federal Reserve, because of the crash of 08, created what's called capital rules for the largest banks. Very simple one was like you have to have enough cash on hand so that in case there's a run on the bank or some other kind of crash, then you're going to be able to pay it. By the way, I'm at the Wall Street Journal's website right now. The 10-year bond is at 0.76%. 0.76%. I don't know why anybody would ever buy our bonds. So the capital rules, you have to have a lot of, you have to have some standing cash, you have to have assets to equal your deposits, that kind of thing. Well, the Federal Reserve said, yeah, never mind. Go ahead, you guys can just do what you want to do, just as long as you keep us running. You know how I have been talking about the Federal Reserve pumping trillions of dollars into the banks, and they're doing this on a weekly basis. You know, a billion here, a billion there. Pretty soon it adds up to real money. But the banks now, the Federal Reserve, cannot pump in enough money to keep our banks solvent. The banks have pretty much crashed all through China. By the way, believe nothing in any way, shape, or form that comes out of China. I mean zero. Nothing. I've been having communications with people in China. I have I'm a member of Alibaba.com. And I have always had a Chinese agent that would communicate with me. Not anymore. Now, China is outsourcing. The agent I have now is in Croatia, and they won't answer my questions. What happened to the Chinese agents? Believe nothing in any way, shape, or form that's coming out of China. I mean, period. Let's see, OPEC. You know what cost of oil is right now? It's like $41 a barrel. The Arabs have been trying to keep it around $60 to $100 a barrel. $41 a barrel is costing them a lot of money. So what they're going to do, OPEC has agreed on a massive cut to the oil supply of the world. They want to, that's how they, you know, the law of supply and demand. If the demand's high, you cut the supply down and it makes it more valuable. Well, people aren't traveling as much now, unfortunately, but that's what OPEC is going to do. They're going to have a massive cut. Now, all of you who have Apple equipment, Apple phones, Apple tablets, and this sounds like a phony, a hoax. It's not. Apple is going to be paying out over $500 million in settlements to people who have iPhones and those tablets. And the reason is they were caught throttling older iPhones. Whenever a new iPhone comes out, they automatically cut down the speed on the older iPhones. That's illegal. So what's happening is the government's ordered them to pay. Now, you can go online and find out about it yourself. I will have a link, as I told you. I have links on my website to this. And basically, you'll get about $25 a phone. If you have five phones, well, or five people in the house, with each of you have a phone that was working, you'll get $25 per phone. I'll have a link to that. It is real. It is real. All right, so now we're going to get into food and health. The big thing up here in the Northwest is salmon fishing. Well, some college decided that they're going to test, see how much toxin substances are in some salmon, some Chinook salmon, and they are catching them in the Puget Sound area. They found 81 toxins in there. And the whole letter itself is in a website called Environmental Pollution. Every drug that you take, your body doesn't use. I don't care what it is. It'd be marijuana. It'd be even alcohol. It'd be Prozac. It'll be antibiotics. Your body uses what it can use at that moment, and then you're going to urinate it out. And then it goes into the water supply. It goes into sewage. It goes into sewer treatment plant. A sewage treatment plant does two things only. Filters out the big chunks and pumps chlorine into there to kill any bacteria or virus. All right? It does not filter out drugs. It does not filter out chemicals. That stuff either goes back into your drinking water or it gets flushed out to sea. And now all of these compounds are in the fish. And then we eat them and start having weird, strange conditions pop up that nobody ever heard about. You know, like I said so many times, if you don't grow it or raise it yourself, I wouldn't eat it. I've talked about the locusts. The locusts all through the Middle East. I'm looking at a map, and it's a vicious cycle. Locusts are like grasshoppers on steroids. Except there's, you know, you walk on your front lawn, you'll see like 10 or 20 of them bouncing around here and there. You look at these things, and it's usually like, you know, a million of them. Now it's about 400 billion, and they fly from one area of food to another. And then they breed, and then they fly and kill some more. There's a vicious cycle that occurs in the Middle East, Saudi Arabia, the Sudan area, Kenya, Africa, and on the other side, India and Pakistan, and Iran area. This has happened for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. This time, multiply this plague by about 100. And that's what's happening. To give an example, there was a video I found. It was a 100-acre wheat farm. 100 acres. The sky got black. It got covered in locusts. And within 10 minutes, the locusts were leaving because there was nothing left to eat. See, under the health department section here, you probably haven't heard about this. The bill that Trump signed, the $8.3 billion, a lot of that, in fact, I would say 20% of it, was pork that was shoved in by the Democrats. Regardless, in that bill, hidden down there, is going to be a provision to where you can Skype, you know, use your tablet or your computer or even your cell phone and call a doctor. Okay, that's going to be a provision in there, so you'll be able to do this, and it'll be covered under Medicare or Medi-Cal or whatever you got. Most insurance plans are going to be covering it, so you don't have to go into a doctor. You can call a doctor and say, "Doctor, I got some disease. My right eye is turning green. My left eye just drained itself out of the socket." And the doctor goes, "Yeah, I can see that from here." So that's what's going to be happening. So make sure you have somewhere an active webcam. Now, I don't know how to use a cell phone with the cameras and all of this crap. My cell phone is a security phone. It does two things. Hello and goodbye. That's it. All right, we're done with the Food and Health Department. Now we're going into the Department of the Wuhan Virus. And I'll tell you this. I go on the dark web and I sneak around and find things that you don't want to find. We've discovered, and it's not just me, it's basically almost every intelligence agency on Earth, that patient zero for this Wuhan virus, is COVID-19, or whatever words they want to throw out there, is traced back to an area around Wuhan, coincidentally right where the biolab is, on October 19th of last year. That was patient zero. So I'm going to tell you these two important things every show until we're finished with this. Number one, this virus can spread from people who are non-symptomatic. They are not symptomatic. They're not sick. They don't think they're sick. They're just walking around. It's like, yeah, I just got off the cruise ship, and of course there were 27 people that were carrying my luggage that all had this virus, but I didn't get it, so I'm fine. And that was like 3 days ago, so I'm fine. Okay, it can spread from non-symptomatic people, and there's a 24-day incubation, not 14-day, 24-day. So if you want to just like lock yourself in and never do anything, then you got to stay 24 days a minimum. I would say 30 days. And we'll talk about that later too. So now I have so many links. I did not have time to go put them all together and list them down. And just so many of them. I'm just going to read them, and they're in no special order. There are over. Well, let me give it to you again. Here we have Gonzaga University, about 30 miles west of me, and we've got about 20 of our students there in Italy. Well, they're not coming home because Italy is one of the main hotspots right now for this virus, so they're quarantined there. Well, they're not alone. There's almost 300 million students around the world who have to be quarantined and cannot go home. That's hell. Let's see, the big danger, you heard last week on that one doctor was saying this virus doesn't have wings, doesn't have feet. You have to put it into your system. And how do you do that? By not washing your hands, by not keeping your hands clean, and then touching your face, scratching your ear, picking food out of your teeth, twirling your mustache, scratching your eye. You do not want to touch your face. Break the habit. Do not touch your face. I remember as a kid, not me, my brother, though, he had bad acne, and the doctors just said, stop touching your damn face. And he told my mom, he said, you take a ruler. If his hand comes above his shoulder, you smack him. I'm serious. It was that bad. And sure, he stops touching his face and his acne stops spreading. Isn't that magic? In Iran, you know, like China, don't believe a damn thing coming out of there, and don't believe anything coming out of Iran either. 21 or 23 of the cabinet of the supreme leader, their people have died. Who knows? The president of Iran, it was rumored that he had the coronavirus. We don't know. We don't know. And I found this video, but the BBC finally found it. Somebody found it. And it's something you don't want to watch. It shows hundreds and hundreds of bagged bodies in Iran waiting to be burned. There is data coming out of China that it's recovering and everybody's getting better now. It's a lie, 100%. Now, these things I'm saying, I will have links to them. It just takes a lot of work for me to get these things up. It's fake. A whistleblower came out and said, this is ridiculous. It's fake. Nothing is getting better. It's getting worse because there's still people alive that can die. Chinese doctor discovered something that he found this Wuhan virus in a patient's cerebral spinal fluid. That's the fluid in the spine going up into the brain. This virus goes in, it is affecting people neurologically now. Well, let's see. Cops were called into California Costco. They ran out of toilet paper. And, well, I won't tell you the joke, but let's just say some of the lower forms of life took they said that. Literally, one guy went up to somebody who had like three packages. When I say a package at Costco, that's, what is that, 48 rolls? He had three of them on his cart, and the guy grabbed one and says, you can't have all of them. And they got in a fight. A recovered patient. Oh, turns out that there are actually two viruses out there. One of them is a weak virus, and the other one is the one that can kill you. So what's been happening throughout China? People are getting sick and then recuperating, and then they leave. And in 5 days, they die. And what the doctors are doing now is what's called study in retrospect. They're looking backwards, and they're trying to figure out similarities and differences between these people and what's going on. And what they found was that there are now two viruses. One's weak, one's strong. They don't know. They're not sure what's going on. I'm going to get to this link. It's somewhere in here, but I'm going to tell you guys something right now. A Chinese scientist is doing a specialized study on this virus. And I've mentioned before, nowhere on earth are you going to find the ethnicity of the people that have died. They don't want you to hear about it. The truth and the reality is that this is a weaponized virus that attacks Chinese. And this scientist has the proof. It's discriminating by race. And that's exactly what it is. Everyone, all the people that have died so far are either Chinese or have Chinese ancestry in them. And the Chinese colonized Japan and Korea and Thailand and most of Asia. So this Chinese scientist, he found genetic explanation for why this is killing the Chinese, because it's designed to kill Chinese. And Chinese are insidious. They're in every nation on earth. And as I watch the news, every day somebody says, oh yeah, and a new nation now has people in there that are suffering from this disease. Every nation on Earth except Antarctica has people who have this disease. Every single nation. So I will have a link to it. You can go do your own research on a thing. But as I said before, this is a DNA structured weapon. It's aimed at the Chinese. I have seen interviews with Caucasians and Mexicans who had this disease, who tested positive, and they all said the same thing. Yeah, I got a real bad cough and a fever, and I felt like crap, and that lasted about 4 or 5 days, and now I feel better now. So we don't know. There's still too much happening right now for us to know. You know how Italy was hammered real fast with the disease, with this Wuhan virus? Turns out patient zero was a Pakistani cab driver who showed up with the disease, was told to go, quote unquote, self-quarantine. And he said, screw that, I can make money driving people around. So he continued working, a cab driver, Pakistani cab driver in Italy, was patient zero. I will have a website for you. Actually, it's not really a website. It is a forum. It's called Reddit. And it's a COVID-19 daily discussion. This is where people go on who are talking live, saying, this is what happens. My dad operates a small primary care clinic in the Philippines. He can't even get N95 masks. They're not available in any way, shape, or form. Italy reports 1,200 new cases, 36 new deaths. They have a total of 5,800 cases, people verified with this virus, and 233 dead. And that was as of 4 hours ago. So this is right on top of it. This is a COVID-19 discussion on Reddit. There was a video that went out. It looked like as people were pushing their carts into Costco in California, some guy was spraying them down with a spritzer bottle. Well, he wasn't spraying the people. And this just happened here. They started doing this here. This is now standard operating procedure at all Costcos throughout the world. As you push your cart in, you let go of the handle, guy comes up, sprays it off with antiseptic, wipes it down, and then you go on in. So he's not spraying with disinfectant. He's spraying your cart handle. Let's see. The Department of Homeland Security office in Washington State, just 15 miles west of me, has to shut down because one of the employees ended up with the coronavirus. The Department of Defense, I get this, the DHS briefings. I get any division. I get them all. Half of them I just ignore because they're just routine, new forms to fill out, just all of this crap. I don't care about it. Some of them I do. One of them was the Department of Defense has evaluated the likelihood that this will become a pandemic within the next 30 days. All right, and here's how they came up with that. In the United States, they're saying now we've got 15 dead. What is it, 2,000 people under watch for the virus? And that's really low. And the reason is because the CDC, Centers for Disease Control, are incompetent elites. They really don't care if they do anything right as long as they do something. So they come out with these test kits, and they sent them out, and all of them were wrong, because all of these test kits gave a 96% chance of telling you that you have the disease. So that's when Trump handed it over to Pence and said, run with this, get it fixed. Pence contacted some independent contractors who promised to be able to make these test kits. Now, a test kit for this virus will test 700 to 800 people. So when you say a test kit, it's not just one little vial. It's 700 to 800 people it'll test. This coming week, those test kits are going to be sent out. There's over 75,000 of them going out this week. And then there is another 4 million going out in another week. So what's going to happen is that municipalities and hospitals and counties and states are going to be getting these test kits. They're going to be using them on anyone who even thinks that they have some kind of a respiratory problem. You are going to see, now this, if you think the stock market was bad this week, next week and the week after, I predict it's going to crash and they're probably going to have to close it, shut it down. I could be wrong, based on this, what's going to happen is they're going to start reporting so many people who have the disease and who have actually died from the disease already in the United States. You're going to see, they don't even tell you this, but right now there are over 10,000 people in the United States right now under quarantine. Over 10,000. Now, there's a lot of crap out on the internet about how military are going to come in and enforce the quarantine and lock down city blocks. Okay, good. That's what needs to be done. I was in a quarantine. My sister and I got the bubonic plague when I was a kid in San Mateo, California. The instant the doctor found out that I had the plague, they locked down the city block. They had a cop and a car on all four corners. Nobody was allowed to leave. Nobody was allowed to come in. If one of the houses had a caught fire, nobody would have been allowed to come in and put it out. And we had to walk to the corner where a doctor in a hazmat suit, actually it was a radiation suit because they didn't have hazmat suits then. I'm not that old. But anyway, he'd give us shots, antibacterial. And that's the thing, is the plague is easy to handle. It's just antibacterials. So he'd give us these weird shots. I don't know what they were. They hurt like hell. And we'd have to do that twice a day. And we did this for maybe 2 weeks, you know. And it was kind of cool because my mom would make a phone call and then we'd walk down to the corner and get our shots. And then there'd be like four or five bags of food. And we'd pick it up and carry it all back home. We never had to go shopping. So the quarantine thing, people generally, humans are fallible. And as I said in the beginning, some of them are just plain stupid. People are told to self-quarantine because the Democrats think this is utopia and everybody will do exactly as they're asked. No, they're not going to. Two people got caught in Washington, in Kennewick, Washington. They're supposed to be in self-quarantine, these two people in this one house. So at midnight, a cop found them at a bar downtown that had like 50 other people in it. So they had a big deal there where they had to bring them all in, bring the responders, had to put on hazmat suits. They had to, I mean, it's just ridiculous. But this is the thing. People don't, they're not going to do this. People don't have societal responsibility as they should. Well, it's so. And there were, I got a friend of mine came in yesterday. Her sister works for the port in Los Angeles. She texted her to go to a website and you can see this video. And she told me to do this. And it's a picture of a guy that works at the port. And he's just taking a video of the Long Beach port. And he said, look, there's usually 24 of these maxi ships, these things that carry 5,000 40-foot containers on them. There's usually 24 of them docked along here. There's nothing there. And he's holding the phone and moving around. There's nothing there. And then he moves the phone off to the right, and you see six 40-foot containers stacked there. He said, this is it. There's nobody even here. And then I had another friend of mine came in, and her sister had just texted her. And she's the port captain out of Seattle and some of the areas up there. And she said, it's dead. There's no ships coming in. Now, I told you before, there's basically 30 to 90 day communication lag, time lag between when a company runs out of stuff to when they get it. And the problem is there's nothing coming from China. There's nothing going to be coming from China. That's why people are freaking out and buying stuff. You know, we have a Winco here. Winco deals in bulk foods. So you can go there. Now, people that are freaking out are going to Costco. They're not going to Winco. So go to Winco. Buy your food. Go to Costco at about 10 o'clock and go in and buy your toilet paper. See, you got to know the tricks. Oregon already has over 500 cases spreading out. There's over 500 cases of the coronavirus in Oregon right now. Let's see. French government has seized all stocks of face masks. You know, we were selling face masks. We were selling N95 face masks last year. I sold pallets of them. Pallets of them. Boxes. 150? I don't know, 50 or 100, I don't remember how many in a box, for $5. That same box is going for $250 on eBay. There's another one of these cruise ships. How many, I want to see a show of hands, how many of you out there are stupid enough to want to go take a cruise right now? Well, a friend of my son's is. We've had three people come in the store so far. One lady says, hey, I'm going to Israel at the end of the week. I said, no, you're not. She goes, yes, I am. It's fine. I said, no, the Israeli government will instantly put you into quarantine because you're from America. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. That's what they're doing. They're quarantining anyone who comes in. And the other one says, I'm going to Italy. And I just look, oh, you're doing what? Oh, yeah, I'm going to go meet the Pope. I said, do you listen to the news at all? Oh, I'm not political. I didn't say, are you political? I said, do you listen to the news? Stupid is its own reward. And there's so many people. They're going to be going on cruises and taking trips. And then they're going to end up like the Grand Princess off of San Francisco coast has symptomatic passengers of the disease. And nobody will let them dock anywhere. I don't know. It's just ridiculous. Iran. Speaking of Iran, they released temporarily. See, we're going to let you go. You promised to come back, okay? Oh, sure. Okay, do that. 54,000 prisoners. They don't have the infrastructure to handle that kind of disease if it gets into the prisons. So they just turned everybody loose. See, Italy has closed all the schools, just like Japan. Japan's closed all the schools. And now Japan is saying, you know, maybe we shouldn't have the Olympics in July, unless you guys want to come. You know, that's fine. That's fine. A journalist was just coming back from Italy, lands at O'Hara. There's no question that this plane that she was on came from Italy, one of the highest hit locations on Earth for the Wuhan virus. She lands, she gets out, she comes through the tunnel, and there's the workers, the airline workers say, "No, hi, how you doing? Hi, welcome to America." Nobody had masks. Nobody was checking anybody. Nobody's doing anything. The incompetence is what's going to bring down this country. And I said this for years. Incompetence is going to destroy America. And not giving a damn. And that's what's happening. They're not even checking these people. They don't even care. You heard about the outbreaks in Washington, the state of Washington, at the old folks' home. The CDC has said, don't need to test anybody anymore. The CDC has this little thing that they do. If they figure that everybody in that area is going to get the disease, why test for it? Because they know everybody's going to get the disease, and that's what's happening there. And that's another reason why you don't see the statistics rising, because they stop testing in areas. They just flat stop testing. Here's something that's bad that happened. That's Kings County, in that area over there in Washington, where the disease is popping up. Well, let's say you got a bunch of livestock, and a cow dies or a horse dies of some disease or something, or a deer gets hit alongside the road. Usually there's a rendering plant around there that'll come pick it up, take it, and recycle all the hide and the blood and the hoofs and that kind of stuff. Well, the one place in Kings County that was doing that went out of business. So now there's nobody to take any of the carcasses. It's just a little blurb that popped up that I found. Yeah, the police enforce quarantine hits California, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, big deal. They have to. They literally have to. There were people, you know, the funny thing is I've been mentioning this for 20 years. There were people all over the internet that find these pictures of these, they call them FEMA camps or quarantine camp or some kind of camp. And I've been telling people when Clinton was decommissioning all of these military bases throughout California and other states, they weren't digging holes and burying them in it. They were reconverting these things, revamping them into either jails or quarantine camps, because they put a 12-foot high cyclone fence, double layer, with razor wire all around it. I mean, that's what it is. They were creating these places. I told you about it before. And now they're popping up. People are popping up saying, oh, yeah, I saw one. My wife and I've seen five of them. I have photographs of five different ones. And then one time, because I know these, I know where these military bases are. One time I was driving through the desert in Nevada, and I told my wife, I said, there's a closed down base over here, about 5 miles off the main road. So we took the side road, and we're driving and driving and come across this place. It's, swear to God, it looks like a prison. 12-foot high fences, cyclone wire, bars welded on all of the windows. There was five towers, one in the middle and one on each corner. And I don't know if they're machine gun towers, but they're guard towers. And there were 3-foot-tall weeds growing through the whole place. Yeah, I took pictures of it. So they exist all over the place. Singapore. In Singapore, they're trying to find all of the cases there, everybody who has the disease. And in Singapore, if you're asked, where are you coming from? Like a ship docks or a plane lands, or, you know, whatever. And they ask you, where are we coming from? Where have you been? And you lie to them, you're going to jail for 6 months or get a fine up to $10,000. They're not playing here in Singapore. So you want to tell them the truth. The basketball games throughout the United States, they're about to ban all spectators. So just, and that's going to go over like a lead balloon. And I've already seen interviews with 3 or 4 of very well-known basketball players who are saying, yeah, look, I go out there and play for the fans. I'm not playing for empty benches. We just won't even play. So they're looking at that. Let's see, Starbucks. Starbucks is banning personal cups. No more. You can't have personal cups anymore. They don't want you spreading your disease all over the place. Supermarket owners and ex-supermarket bosses warning of potential coronavirus food riots. Duh. There's no ifs, ands, or but. It's going to happen. The stores are starting to run out of things. Go into Walmart. And you will notice the things that come from China, which is about 90% of the goods in there, are not as stocked as they used to be. And it depends on what part of the country you're at, how much stock is there. See, places like Walmart, Costco, Home Depot, and the big box stores, there are main distribution warehouses. It could be 250,000 square foot warehouse somewhere in the middle of Nevada, and it feeds four states, and they keep sales stats statistics on, let's see, each week the place in Seattle sells 500 cases of toilet paper, but the place in Coeur d'Alene only sells 50. So Coeur d'Alene is going to get 1/10 of what Seattle gets. They figure out, you know, how they're going to ship this stuff. So that's why, if you run out here, they probably have plenty of it someplace else. And that's exactly what happened. A guy went to the Costco here about 11 o'clock in the morning, and there was no toilet paper. Only paper left over there was paper towels. He drove to the Costco in Spokane. Had plenty of toilet paper. So you just, you know, really, you need to figure out what you need and get it done as quickly as possible. One of the dominoes in this whole thing is the travel sector. The ships, the planes, United Airlines, they're looking at filing bankruptcy. They've canceled over 2,000 flights a week is what they're canceling now. And that's just the beginning. There's much more to it than that. But all the travel sector is starting to collapse. I'm always astounded when I find people who don't know what's going on. But I don't know. Maybe it's age. Maybe the older you get, the more you give a damn. But people come in here and they're buying CBD, or they're buying a oregano oil or colloidal silver or something. And I ask them and say, do you know what's going on? Are you paying attention? You know, no. Why? What's going on? This virus. What? The flu? No, the Wuhan virus. This COVID-19 or whatever you want to call it now. Yeah, but we don't have it here, do we? As a matter of fact, there are two people right now in Spokane under observation, quote unquote. Let's see. Two British Airways baggage handlers test positive. There should be a mandatory semester of virology, a biological disease, taught every single person in high school so that they understand how disease spreads. So two baggage handlers. How many bags did they handle? When you have this virus, when you have any virus, there is a period that you shed the virus, and it comes out of your skin. You touch something, you just left some of the virus on it, on that surface. So these guys tested positive, but how long were they positive? How long did they have this disease and were passing it? So let's see, the bunch of places that I've gone to in the past week, different stores, Fred Meyer, Super One, Best Buy, Home Depot, Lowe's. I go into the stores and there are things on the shelf, empty spaces, and there's a little sign that says not available, unavailable, unavailable, unavailable. There are products that I could buy. See, we have a lot of customers that we've had for years and years, and there's a lot of them that live up in the mountains. So they'll come down here with a list of how many different things they want to get, and the guy next door wanted them to get some things too. And if this weird stuff that they can't get in normal stores, they'll ask me to find it online for them. So I go online, and look, a guy wanted a holster for something. I go online, and this type of holster, this exact type one, is made in China. Not available. Clothing, certain clothing, not available. When you go to eBay, on the left-hand side of the screen, you scroll down, and if you're, say you're going to search for something, say you're going to search for toadstool or garden gnome, on the left-hand side, you scroll down, and there will be a link there that says U.S. worldwide, meaning where do you want to source this item from? So if you just, well, if you put like U.S., you'll find all the items, right? But if you don't check that as U.S. only, you will find all of these items that are for sale, and it says not available, not available, not available, not available, not available. They're all from China, every single one of them. I don't know why they don't take them down. Well, maybe they're not alive now. I don't know. Let's see, Vatican. So the Pope, they said that the Pope does not have this disease, but people in the Vatican City do have the coronavirus. Here's another one of those oh craps. A Seattle game, football game. One of the concessionaires, from what I understand, it was at an XFL game, had 22,000 people in it. He had the coronavirus. He sold hot dogs. How many hot dogs did he sell? How many things did he touch? And also, in the same thing, a Homeland Security employee, he tested positive. In Seattle, they're telling everyone to work from home if you can. Now, I didn't know where to put this one. I didn't know where to put it under Islam because of its psychosis, or under this because of its disease. So I'm going to put it under this. And this is Iran. They have these holy shrines, and a tradition is to lick them. You get that? The tradition is to lick these shrines. The imams are refusing to close these sites because Islam is much more important than this disease. They're licking this. They're saying stupid is his own reward keeps popping up. But even if there was no disease there, I don't care how religious, how holy something is going to be, I'm not going to lick it. Good God. Some of this is just flat insane. But this is everyone that does. One guy, just one person who's shedding the virus licks that. Just one person. And then the disease starts just growing and growing and growing and growing. I have a link here, naturalnews.com. He has, Mike has right at the first page as you go in, it talks about, it's got up-to-date news on the COVID-19 virus. Just all the information's there. If I can edit it right, I'm going to play an interview with Cliff High. You heard me play an interview with him last week where he was talking about the need for B vitamins, C, D, these kind of things, okay? I found this one video where this guy was interviewing him, and Cliff was telling him all the stuff. He was saying what's going on. He was telling him the data that he has accumulated. Now, you got to remember who Cliff High is. He's the guy that invented this program that crawls the internet and finds information that nobody knows exists, and then he would make up, he would create a pattern for the future based on that data. During this interview, well, obviously at the end of it, he physically collapsed. He couldn't handle it. He just started crying like crazy, and he said, I don't want to be right. I don't want to be right. And he's just crying. I mean, he couldn't handle it. They had to end the interview. If I can, I'll play it next week. It might not be necessary, though. I don't know. United States Postal Service employee tested positive for the Wuhan virus. And this is in Washington State. The problem is, and it's going to sound racist, and there isn't a damn thing we can do about it. This is a Chinese disease that's being passed by Chinese. Whole post offices have nobody working there except Chinese. And this is in a package handling division in the state, and I'm not sure exactly where. It's in the Seattle area, of course, but right now, in a lot of different areas in the United States, they're rationing. Right here at Costco, they're rationing water, you know, bottled water. You know, I don't understand this. I'm in North Idaho. I could throw a rock and hit a river from here. There are rivers and creeks and ponds. When I say a pond up here, it's like 5 miles in diameter. Lakes. There's so much water up here, it's ridiculous. And here are these people buying bottled water. All you need is a filter. Anyway, so they're rationing stuff up here. They're rationing toilet paper, they're rationing rice, they're rationing beans, they're rationing all kinds of stuff. We have, and I told you about this already, the majority of our drugs that comes from China, or the precursors to those drugs come from China, the ingredients. If everything stays static right now, and we don't have this outbreak, because this disease is treated with antibiotics, not the virus itself, but the secondary effects are treated with antibiotics. If we don't have this disease putting a strain on our system, we have 30 to 45 days supply of pharmaceuticals in the United States right now. And if we're taxed to where we have to use all of those to keep people alive, we'll be out of these in no time. This is what happens because people got greedy and lazy and outsourced the United States' ability to protect itself and to supply itself with the drugs necessary for our survival. All right, everything I say is going to be on my show notes page. You just click on the March 8th show, and you'll be able to see the links that I have, everything that I've said. All right, so now we're done with the Wuhan, and now we're going into the liberal psychosis. This is the party of racism, intolerance, anger, hate, and fear. Number one, Chris Matthews. This guy, he's obviously a liberal. And I've listened to him before. He's like a taco shy of a combination plate. He's probably a nice guy to play poker with, but... Well, apparently, his elitism has gotten to him, and he has started to say the things he shouldn't say to females around him, He's been rude to people. He's been sexually suggestive. So the Me Too movement just bit him in the ass. And let's see, Chris Matthews announces his retirement. And he parts ways with MSNBC. He did it in a unique way. His show started. He comes on and says, I'm parting. I'm done. I'm retiring. And he got up and walked out. Just got up and walked out. That's the way to do it. Well, let's see. Obama's doctor. Remember when the abomination was in, he had this doctor. Everybody called him the candy man. No matter what drug you wanted. Now, this is at the White House, okay? Every president has a doctor there. Well, this doctor was, you come in and say, hey, I need some opioids. Okay, how many you want? 20, 30, 40? Write it down. Yeah, right. So this guy, he's running for office. He's running for Congress in a 15-way primary in Texas. This is the 13th congressional district. And he's obviously a Democrat. Dr. Ronnie Jackson. He came out and said that he's, I diagnosed myself. I have a mental illness. That's all I need to hear. That's all I needed to hear. Utah Senate has approved a bill to legalize polygamy. I don't know how they're going to justify this, but polygamy is illegal federally. And Utah, it was banned because of the Mormons. So I don't know what they're doing. They're going backwards now. So speaking of liberal insanity, here is this Denver councilwoman, Candy Sidibaka. She is a racist black female. Obviously, she. At least I hope it's she. Yeah, anyway, she just comes out and says, if I do get coronavirus, I'm attending every MAGA rally I can. What kind of a piece of lukewarm canine excrement is that to say something like that? You know, the Democrats get away with saying all kinds of stuff. I mean, they do. We say something, accidentally misgender some sexual pervert, and they want to throw us under the bus, literally. But Schumer, another pile of canine excrement, comes out and threatens on the steps of where the justices work, the Supreme Court. He threatens two Supreme Court justices and blows it off. And so do the other Democrats. They don't care. The media didn't care until the Republicans started caring. So the Democrats can do whatever they want and get away with it. That's easy. And, you know, all of these Democrats that were running for office, they wanted the nomination, right? All of the Democrats that were running wanted the nomination, spent over $1 billion trying to get the nomination. Do you know, what is it? I could, if they, instead of spending all that money, they give $1 million to every U.S. citizen. That'd be $350 million. Hell, Bloomberg spent that much in Ohio. This is ridiculous. A friend of mine retired from the Air Force, and he sent me an article about how the Air Force is now updating its song. The Air Force is updating its song to be gender neutral. Well, I'm not going to read it to you. First it's West Point, now it's the Air Force. They're all becoming gender neutral, which unfortunately means that we no longer have any men in the military. A parent picks his kid up from Brooklyn school, okay, a little daycare school, and the kid has a sticker on his shirt, says drag queen in training. You know that they're having these let's teach children how to be sexually perverted. And they're starting this at the age of four, all over the United States. You people who'd say, oh, I'm glad I just had a baby now, let me hand it off to somebody to raise for me. That's what daycare is. And that's what the public school system is. And they're bringing these transvestites, and yes, that's the real word. Whatever word, I don't care what, they're not drag queens, they're transvestites, that's what they are. They're nothing else, they're transvestites. They have a sexual psychosis. And they're reading to our children, they're teaching our children how to be a drag queen. In fact, one of them emulating a disgusting section of humanity, decided to teach, this is in the UK, decided to teach the children how to twerk. This is how to sexually bounce your butt up and down. They're teaching children that. This is a drag queen at the drag queen reading hour at the local library. This is ridiculous. For any society to get to the point where they're not only promoting but emulating sexual perversion, I don't know how many nails can be left for that coffin. I read the FBI crime statistics book every year when it comes out. And the District of Columbia, the foreign nation that rules the rest of the United States, their violent crime and property crime and other crime has been going down. And I'm thinking, wow, that's somebody's doing something right. Well, a woman, Charlotte Josseau, she was a sergeant in the police department there. She's still there, but she knows her time is measured. She's going to be gone. She comes out and she says, look, this is ridiculous. Yes, crime is going down according to what they tell us to write, because they're downplaying all of the crimes that are happening. If somebody commits a felony, we're ordered to write it off as a minor transgression. So they do that so often that it looks like the crime is going down. I have one article here. If you want to know what's going to be happening to this society fairly soon, you go and look at this thing. 15 lower forms of life attacked a girl in New York City because they wanted her iPhone and her tennis shoes. The instant they got her to the ground, they started stomping on her, running up to her. These are all black children. These are thugs. These are savages. And they started jumping on her, kicking her, beating her. This is a 15-year-old girl. And they got her shoes. They got her cell phone. Took some money that she had. And there's cameras all over the place. They know who these people are. But liberals get away with it. And because New York City now will not jail anyone for a crime, unless it's a capital crime, they know there's nothing's going to happen to them. Now, I saw a little article. You can love this, especially those of you who live in Idaho. The Democrats have come out and said Idaho is too red. Now, understand the difference, the red and the blue connotations for Democrats and Republicans. It was purposely, used to be, the Republicans were blue and the commies were red. Well, during the 60s, CNN and some other news organizations purposely changed that. So now, the Idaho Democrats are saying, you know, I think we're going to take the blue out of Idaho. I think we're going to take over Idaho with this coming election. I don't know where they get that idea. Probably positive thinking. But I have an article on that. Feel free to read it. So New York City arrests this criminal alien. And they take him to court. And they put him there before the judge. And they charged him with child rape and sexual abuse. And then they turned him loose because, well, that's apparently not a felony there. And because he's a criminal alien, so the New York City don't want him to get arrested by evil ICE, you know, the Customs and Border Patrol. They don't want him to arrest him. So they turned him loose. ICE agents were waiting outside the courthouse, and they arrested him. And New York City got all upset about that, and the feds said, so what? That's our job, and we're going to do it more and more. See, in New York City, they physically tell the criminal aliens, don't worry, we're not going to arrest you. We'll charge you and turn you loose so that you can wait for your court date. Yes, this guy raped a child, at least one, and he promises to come back for his court date. Okay, Arizona, this is a good thing. Arizona passed a bill banning transvestites from participating in school sports. See, transvestites are males that pretend they're females. I mean, they'll even go as far as cutting it off. So these, most of them, though, are just simple transvestites. They just want to grow breasts and keep the rest of their attributes in hand, so to speak. But Arizona said no more. You're going to be a transvestite. You're not going to participate in any school sport because they always win in wrestling. There are two states now that have known transvestite wrestlers in the juniors in high school, and they win every match. And in fact, not only do they win, they purposely go out of their way to try and create physical harm and damage to any of the people that they're wrestling. So Arizona's taking a step saying, we're going to not allow it. So there was a joke going around. How many millennials does it take to change a light bulb? Well, the joke is none of them, because they don't, what's a light bulb? They don't even know what the hell it is. This is a big thing, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. I talked to Vinny Finelli, USA Prepares. I was talking to him this week, and we were talking about this problem. When him and I die off, who's going to be able to change light bulbs? These millennials, most of them don't even know how. They literally think it's just part of existence that you flip a switch, light comes on. And when the light doesn't come on, they call someone. Or they go on YouTube and say, what happens when my light doesn't come on? They don't know. They don't know how to change a light bulb. They don't know how to change a doorknob. They don't know how to change a light socket. They don't know there's so many different things they don't know how to do. And of course, that's why I'm here, is to help train people and tell people how to do simple things. I've got a book here. You know, if you want to improve yourself on a day-to-day basis, there's this book. It's called The Urban Survival Handbook by John Wiseman. He wrote the SAS Survival Handbook. This is the Urban Survival Handbook. And it teaches you all the little minor things that I picked up just going through life and being raised by a real parent, not someone who shuffled me off to daycare and then public schools. So this is the problem. This is the big one. And they're talking about this in the UK. They literally, the concept of handyman is disappearing. I've been a handyman before. I worked for Coldwell Banker. And they had a 500-unit apartment building, and they turned me loose in there and said, fix it. I have the ability, and people like me have a unique ability, where we can look at a problem, evaluate the problem, and invent or find out the solution to handling that problem without ever having that problem before. Even my own son, I say, Eric, would you go do blankety blank, please? He goes, I don't know how to do that. I've never done that. I said, Eric, I didn't ask you if you knew how to do it. I said, go do it. Like jack up a car. So I got a floor jack. It's a 5-ton floor jack. And I've got a Prius. Okay? I could pick up by myself one of the wheels. I can pick it up. So I say, jack the car up. Oh, I don't know how. Also, here, you tighten this handle to the right. And as you pump it up and down, you'll notice that this little plate down there with a cup on the end of it starts rising up. He goes, well, I know how jack works. I go, oh, good. We'll use the jack and jack the car up. Well, where do I put it? Well, do I need to handhold you and show you every single thing? Can't you evaluate yourself? Why don't you look at the manual? There's the book. It tells you how to jack the car up. See, this is the thing. They're helpless. Now, that's just an example, but that was like 20 years ago with Eric. But that's the thing, is they don't know how to find out. They think that life is supposed to be for them. They're entitled. And the problem is that now they want this guy to be president. I have a clip here, and it says, Joe isn't really there, is he? Biden. They want Biden to be president, okay? They want him to be president. Me, I want a president that I'm proud of. Someone that I can respect. Someone that I know is working for me. But here's this guy, half the Republicans call him Creepy Joe, and the other half call him Sleepy Joe. Here's just a few of the things that have blurted out of his mouth.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by God. You know the thing.
His mom lived in Long Island for 10 years or so. God rest her soul. And your mom's still alive as your dad passed. God bless her soul. Chuck Graham, state senator's here. Chuck, stand up, Chuck. Let him see you. Oh, God love you. What am I talking about?
A man who will be the next president of the United States, Barack America.
In Delaware, the largest growth in population is Indian Americans moving from India. You cannot go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent.
Hillary Clinton is as qualified or more qualified than I am to be Vice President of the United States of America. Quite frankly, it might have been a better pick than me.
Look, John's last-minute economic plan does nothing to tackle the number one job facing the middle class, and it happens to be, as Barack said, a three-letter word, jobs, J-O-B-S, jobs. If we do everything right, we do it with absolute certainty. We stand up there and we make really tough decisions. There's still a 30% chance we're going to get it wrong.
Now is the time to heed the timeless advice from Teddy Roosevelt. Speak softly and carry a big stick. I promise you, the president has a big stick.
I just want you to know I had permission to hug Lonnie.
He does weird things. He hugs little kids, which is, you know, I do that too. And then he smells their hair and kisses them on the back of their neck. And he's just creepy to me. We'll see what happens. Anyway, we're going to go into the government threat. Yeah, let's see. Got a few things here. One of them is really interesting. I had come out and I told you about this facial recognition company. In fact, it was all over the internet. This company has the best quality program for facial recognition. And we were worried. Everybody was worried about the privacy. And they've been stripping pictures off of Facebook, Venmo, YouTube, and other sites. What do they call it? Scraping pictures of people from all over the internet. And they got hacked. Their entire list was stolen. See, this is why you can't do the cloud. You cannot trust anyone in any way, shape, or form with your personal information. You cannot trust anyone. Not that they will purposely screw up, but they will either sell your information, trade your information, or accidentally get it stolen. So this facial recognition company that claimed that they were going to be the most powerful in the world and law enforcement was going to use them, and well, they had their whole list stolen. I got a one-page briefing from the Department of Homeland Security on a new water cannon. And I'm thinking, water cannon. Well, and then I think back to the Selma riots, and I think the water cannons they used there. And then I'm looking at this, and they're talking about, oh, no, that's not what it is. What this is, honest, this is not what it is. This is a water cannon to be used to explode unexploded munitions. At least that's kind of like what they were saying. And basically, the thing with a water cannon, and you've seen the picture, you've seen these tanks that they go and they're spraying water out of the tube, okay, and blasting people and stuff. Here's the problem with that. The fluid, the water that goes through the tube, is slower in the front than the water in the back. It doesn't actually jive with each other or sync with each other, so they can't get really high pressure out of there. Somebody invented a way. It's called a rev jet. It breaks apart explosives, and it's ultra-high velocity liquid, water. It can use any liquid, but they use water. It's ultra-high velocity. Literally, it could blow a door off the hinges. It could flip a car over. If you have a couple of these aimed at a car, it was no ifs, ands, or buts. It could kill a human. But this came out March 3rd. new water cannon technology, a breakthrough for bomb squads. I know for a fact that they're going to be using this in other applications, though. Because, well, look, they don't even need ammunition, just water, and they can control people a lot better. They could break every bone in your body. So this is a new water cannon technology, and I'll have the link on my website. Now, those of you who have read Atlas Shrugged, you'll remember that one of the premises in the book was that all of the heads of and CEOs of these big corporations that actually made the world run started to disappear. They'd retire, then disappear. Or they just disappear. Well, I got sent an article, qmap.pub, about resignations. I did not realize this. This is almost like I'm watching Atlas Shrugged again. Ambassador to Russia, CFO, CEO, CEO, interim CEO, chairman, CEO, CEO, board member, CMO, chairman, CEO and president, CEO and president. There are 20 pages, and this is for 2019 and 20. People, big people, I mean, not just in the United States, worldwide. There's thousands of them. Okay, maybe it is a thing going on like Atlas Shrugged, and all the big guys are saying, you know what, you guys are on your own. You're going to sink or swim, but not by anything I do. All right, now we're in the category of Trump. Well, let's see. It's very simple. Trump filed a lawsuit against the New York Times for fraud. Trump filed a lawsuit against CNN for fraud. Trump filed a lawsuit against the Washington Post. This is all not fraud, it's libel. This is because all of those organizations promoted fraudulent data. So he's suing him. He might not win, but it's going to cost them millions to defend themselves. Now, here's something that I like. He tried to do this already. Trump did. Well, now the Supreme Court says, yes, he can. Trump is pulling all funding, federal funding, to any sanctuary city or sanctuary state. And the Supreme Court said, go for it. So he's going to start on that, I don't know, any day now. So the Federal Court of Appeals said, yep, go ahead and do it. We'll see what happens with that one. All right, now I want to get into section, and this is, I'm not going to be able to get into it as articulately as I want to, but we all need to know this. Now, winter's up, right? Isn't it? So now we're going to talk about spring cleaning. This is not just spring cleaning. This is cleaning for your life. And that's what the spring cleaning was supposed to be. People don't know how to clean. This is another thing with millennials. They don't know how to clean. They think sweeping the floor is cleaning the floor. That's it. It's done. Just sweep the floor. Go ahead, honey. Sweep the floor. Or then you got the electronic millennial who doesn't have a broom but does have a vacuum cleaner. So they vacuum the kitchen floor. That's just one example. And they wash dishes once a week in the dishwasher because they don't know how to do it by hand. The idea behind cleaning your house, especially after winter, is, and that's why it's called spring cleaning. Now, okay, it might not be spring right now, but it's time that this gets done. During the winter months, disease spreads really, really easily because we're all cooped up. Because, like, if you got seven people in a family, they're in the house the majority of the time. But in the spring and winter months, windows are open, air can come in and go, people go all the time. So they would do spring cleaning, and the purpose of spring cleaning was to get rid of all the filth inside the house that's built up. Where there's dirt and dust, there is disease. If you know, one of my minors in college was biology, and one of my professors was a virologist, And he taught us some of the things would astound you, how easy it is for diseases to grow and then strike. Like my son, and this is a vivid example. My son, to clean his room when he was young, would be how much will fit under the bed. Okay. So I just open his door down in the basement and I go, oh yeah, it looks clean. Doesn't smell too bad. And then one day he woke up in the morning with a big red bump on his cheek. He'd been bit by something. By the end of the day, it started to ooze pus. And we realized he'd been bit by a brown recluse. So our oregano oil treated it and handled it. But he took his bed, took the mattress and the box springs out of his room, stood the frame up, and started cleaning the crap out from under his bed. And he's finding spider webs. He's finding not dust bunnies, dust gorillas that are hiding down there. There is stuff that grows in there. That is the perfect petri dish for bacteria and virus and fungus to grow. I think I told you about this, but I don't remember. I had a customer come in who was telling me about he moved into a mobile home, and he's been my customer for 20 years. He moved into a mobile home, and he started to get sinusitis right away. So he's going to breathe or spray the colloidal silver up his nose, and that's going to handle the symptoms and all that stuff. So he's doing that, and this goes on for a couple of months. His sinus infection doesn't go away, and then his wife gets it, and then his dog gets it. Now he's in a 1,000-square-foot mobile home. So he starts realizing, and he goes into some of the back rooms, and areas where they haven't got to and cleaned was mold growing. So he's trying to figure out what to do for the mold. Meanwhile, he needs to up his game, so he starts breathing oregano oil. You take a coffee cup half full of boiling water, put a few drops in there, and start and breathe it. The instructions on their website, I've talked about it before. Well, he said not only did that cure him, it killed the mold in the motorhome, the mobile home. It killed the mold in there. Just something to think about. But the idea is to clean the house. And there are ways to do it. Most people don't know how. Most people think taking a wet rag and wiping things down, that's gonna cure all kinds of problems. Well, you know, it couldn't hurt. If that's better than what you have been doing, go for it. There's specific ways that you have to do this. And we're going to start in the laundry room. Now, in each room, you do this. And this is how you clean. You do one room at a time. You start at the top and you work to the bottom. You start at the back and you work to the front. And by front, I mean that's part of the room that has the door on it so you can get out. You need to look up. You cannot just clean at eye level. What we're doing here is we're trying to create a safe space for you to exist in, to where you don't have to worry about the spread of disease. This Wuhan virus that's popping up is just another example of what can happen when people are complacent and they don't follow standard cleaning practices and standard health practices. If all of that was followed, none of this would exist. That virus is so sensitive. It can live for about 9 days on a non-hostile surface, meaning countertop, glass, stainless steel. It can live for 9 days on there. Okay? You use any cleaning solution. I don't care what it is. It could be Lysol. It could be Ajax. It could be bleach. Anything. It kills it. Boom. Right now. No ifs, ands, or buts. Colloidal silver. Spread it on there. And spray it on there. It'll kill it. And then you wipe it down. It's that simple. But you actually have to do it. So we have a new regime here now at the store. Every morning when we come in, first thing we do is we wipe everything down with a Clorox wipe. The door, the handles, the cabinets, everything that where people are going to touch. It's just wiped down. But when you clean a room, you start at the top. You look at the top. Now, this is also good because you might not know it, but oh, look, oh, hell, there's a hole in my roof. It seems to have been leaking water for a while, and it's dissolving its way through the sheetrock. Well, it's a good idea to do a visual on your home now and then just to see what's going on. So you clean, and you can use a dust mop on this, and clean all of the corners, all the edges of every room, and the ceiling. Now, if you have one of those sprayed on ceilings. It's a little hard to clean that thing. You'll have to do that with a vacuum and a brush attachment and lightly clean the ceiling. But if it's just a sheetrock and spray-painted ceiling, well, that's easy to do. You can use a dust mop up there. But during the winter months, your heaters will blow dirt around and dust. And it'll get stuck on those pointy parts of the blown-in popcorn ceiling, they call it. So those have to be cleaned off. There's nothing more disgusting than eating a dinner at the dinner table and a tendril, fall the size of your little finger, falls down into your plate. And then you look up and you see all the whole ceiling is almost black with that crap. I'm like, oh, my God. Okay, you have to look above your eyes to start your cleaning. So dust everything. Start at the top, work all the way down. Dust everything. Move things away from the wall. All the electrical cords and everything you have against the wall, all the drains you have against the wall, those are coated in dust. Dust is not just a petri dish for bacterial and viruses. It's also, moisture gets into the dust and the dust turns to rust. It'll rot things around it. Keep it as clean as possible. Lift things up. Clean underneath. You know, some people, like the refrigerator, you're not going to pick it up and dust underneath. But, you know, they have these interesting brushes. It pictures sheepskin about 3 inches wide and about 3 feet long with a hard stick in it. You just stick that underneath your appliances, swish it around, and pull it out, and there's all the dust. I found one at a yard sale for 25 cents. I didn't know what it was. But for a quarter, and it looked like it was sheepskin, I figured I'd play with a cat with it anyway. Took it home, and my wife goes, oh, that's for doing cleaning under the refrigerator. So that and the stove and all of that. Okay, anyway, we're in the laundry room. Remember that. So we're in the laundry room. Now, you're using soap in the laundry room. Soap is made to activate in moisture or humidity. During the winter, you get humidity all through your house. You might not think so, but you do. I have a dehumidifier, and I've got a house upstairs about 1,000 square foot. If I turn that dehumidifier on, overnight it will suck at least a half a gallon of water out of the air. So that's how much moisture you're getting in your house. And in the laundry room, because of the soap that's in there, that soap gets moisture in it, and it starts to solidify or it starts to turn moldy. And, you know, there's all kinds of icky stuff that happens. Speaking of icky stuff that happens, in the laundry room, your dryer needs to be cleaned out. If you have a compressor, now this is going to make a mess, so make sure you get all the clothes out of the laundry room, close all the doors. Bring the airline of the compressor in. Don't have it at like 150 PSI. Have it at maybe, you know, 60 to 75. Blow out the dryer. You can take your lint trap out and you go, yeah, look, my lint trap's clean. See, I keep cleaning it, right? Yeah. Once you start that air compressor in there, you're going to see so much lint and crap fly out of both ends, it's going to blow your mind. The largest amount of fires, home fires, are started because of lint excess in the dryer. It gets hot, catches fire, boom, up it goes. And there's a lot of lint down there. We've even gone to the point where I will unscrew the bottom plate to the dryer in the front, and I will clean it that way. And make sure your vent on the outside is cleaned. If it's outside of the house or up in the attic, make sure that's cleaned also. The idea here, I mean, it's once a year, right? Same thing with the washing machine. As a matter of fact, the washing machine, how many of you wash your washing machine inside? Not many. People don't. They just throw their clothes in there, and they think they're clean when they take them out and put them in the dryer. You need to get some cleanser. I don't care what. Boom or Zoom or whatever, some spray cleanser liquid and a rag and a little hot water, spray down the inside of your washing machine and wipe down the tub. The tub is not stationary, it'll move side to side. Move it to one side so you have access to it and wipe that thing down. You're going to find crud coming off of there, and you're going to think, and my clothes are coming out of here. Clean it good. In fact, about once a year we run a load of nothing in there. Just hot water and a lot of soap and bleach just to really clean it out. Same thing with your sink that's in the laundry room. Clean that out. Now, there's a product you can get, and it is, what are they called? It is the Barkeeper's Friend. That's what it is. You know what Ajax is. You know what Comet is. Barkeeper's Friend is like Ajax on steroids. It will clean stains up that you didn't know could ever be cleaned up without actually scraping with a knife. Barkeeper's Friend really, really works. Now, you got to be careful when you use any of these abrasive compounds, like Ajax, Comet, Barkeeper's Friend. There's a lot of fiberglass tubs and sinks out there that you can damage by using that. So be careful and be aware of what you're doing. So you're in the laundry room. Yep, clean up all the stuff. Now, sweeping the floor is great. You can get into the nooks and crannies, or as my son used to say, the crooks and nannies, and you can dig out all of the crap that's in there. And then you can use a dust mop and finish it up and get all the fine stuff, because a broom will not get everything. Dust mop will get 99% of everything else. But now you need to mop. So if you have linoleum in there, move as much stuff out of the way as possible. And then you have yourself, I like using Lysol. And I put like a cup of Lysol in a gallon of water. And then I use a sponge mop and I clean the area and then rinse it off. Rinse it with a clean mop. That's the idea. You want to wash it. You want to clean. Then you want to wash it. And then you want to sterilize it. Now, the sterilization can be done very simple. You take a cup of bleach, pure bleach, not the rainy, fresh smell scented stuff, in water. A gallon of water, cup of bleach, gallon of water. After you have washed and cleaned everything, you can take a rag and wipe everything down, and now it's sterilized. This, you can sterilize the whole room that way. When you're cleaning, remember everything you can see is dirty. What can you see? Well, you can see the walls. Good, the walls are dirty. Now, this is up to you, but if you're doing spring cleaning, it's a once-a-year thing. So you take your rag with that, the same liquid that you were washing your floors with, the Lysol and the water, or Pine Sol. You could use Pine Sol, Lysol, Pine Sol, and then wipe the walls down. You will see, you don't see this unless you really look close. And my suggestion is when you do this cleaning, put your close-up glasses on. Put your glasses on so you see what you're doing. You won't understand unless you see. The last time I cleaned the laundry room, the walls looked white to me till I put my reading glasses on and looked at them, and it wasn't white. It had all kinds of dust and icky tendrils on the wall. They'd come right off. So wash the walls. Most people don't do this. Wash your doorknobs or wherever your hands are going to touch, wherever your hands, cabinets, shelves, drawers, wash them down. Now, I'm not going to give you everything for every room, but I'm going to give you enough for each room that you're going to be able to extrapolate this data to use for your whole house. Okay? So now that you understand your laundry room, now here's the other thing. The idea is that this is not just spring cleaning, but this is also setting you up so you don't incur undue capabilities to grow bacteria or virus in an area. So your laundry room's got to be kept neat as much as possible. You spill something on the floor, clean it up. Don't leave clothes piled in a corner. That's not what you do. You don't leave dirty clothes on the ground, on the floor. Things will crawl under them and grow. Get laundry baskets. We have these things. It's a stainless steel cart-like thing with some bags hanging in it, and we put all our clothes, dirty clothes, in there. It allows air to circulate around them so they don't smell, and it keeps critters, which we don't have a lot of up here, from getting into it. But that's the idea. You don't want piles of garbage or piles of clothes or piles of towels and sheets laying down on the floor. You don't want that. So now go to the kitchen. Same thing with the same basic concept. Start at the top and work your way down. Now, something that people almost never clean is your exhaust vent over your stove. 75% of the homes and apartments in the United States have an exhaust vent. Hot soap, hot water, Lysol, or whatever cleanser you want to use, clean it down. Reach up underneath, clean the inside part, and clean the outside part. And if you can, take the filter off. Now, of course, there's a filter on those things, and it's usually aluminum particles. So you take that and you put it in a hot soapy water to soak and to get all the grease off. But you can look up. When you look up with a flashlight, you will see the fan in there and you'll notice grease dripping off of it. Unplug the power. And if you can, clean that thing. That is just grossly disgusting. Clean your stove, whether you got gas or electric, pop the top of it, the range top, go in there, clean everything out underneath, put it back down, soak the stove grills that everything sits on, the burners, sit that in the hot soapy water. I mean, this is what we do all the time. But in the kitchen, you start at the top and you work down. Now, if you have wooden cabinets, you wash them first. Now, the thing with wood cabinets, usually they're stained. If they're stained, it's easy to find another something to patch that up, to clean it up. Old English scratch cover or scratch guard is for dark wood. And after your cabinets have been washed to get the grease, because this is kitchen, it's going to have grease. There's going to be grease everywhere. You're not going to know it. The front of your stove is going to be covered in grease. All the walls around your stove are going to be covered in grease. And you're not going to know it because it doesn't show up. You put your hand on it and your hand's going to stick. Well, the old English scratch cover you put on afterwards, or any stain if you want a stain, or Murphy's wood soap, or whatever you want to use, whatever you choose to use, you can put it on afterwards and then let it dry, and then take a paper towel or a soft white cloth and polish it up and buff it up. You know, it's good to give it a kind of like a facelift once a year to make it look a little bit better. You would take everything out of each cabinet, everything, and wash down the shelves, and then check the things that you took out, make sure that they're clean. If they are, put them back in. If they're not, put them at the sink to get washed. Do that to every shelf. Then you go to your drawers. Pull the drawers open. Take everything out. You will not believe how much crap is in there. By crap, I mean food particles. Wash out the drawers. Check everything that you just took out. If you're like me, you'll probably throw half of it away, and the other half goes over to the sink to be washed. Yeah, we just did this to our kitchen. Every cabinet gets cleaned out. Every drawer gets cleaned out. Open the cabinets below the sink, below the stove. Just wash everything, clean everything out. I use Lysol, a couple Lysol, a gallon of water. If you want to use other chemicals, other solutions, I don't care if they're organic, not organic, whatever. The idea is I want to kill all the bacteria that I come close to. So you clean all of that stuff. Take your dish strainer, wash it, spray it down, let it soak, and then wash it out good. People don't do that. They don't do the dish strainer at all. And then I go over to someone's house, and I look at the dish strainer, and they got all silverware sitting in the dish strainer, and I look down where the silverware is sitting in the dish strainer, and it's brown crud at the bottom. They never think of that. Now, when you're cleaning your dish strainer, like up here we have hard water, so we have to use vinegar, and that's all you have, white vinegar, just cheap white vinegar. Soak your dish strainer, if you have to, in water that's got about a cup of white vinegar to a couple gallons of water, and it will dissolve all of that hard water. Your coffee pot, in fact, we have one of these little weird electric things. You just put water in and flip a switch, and that in a few seconds is boiling. Yeah, it starts to turn white after about 3 days. And you can hear it. You know, your water's boiling or getting hot, and you're hearing popping and weird grizzling sounds. But when you clean it, you know, well, all we do to this coffee pot is I put about 2 tablespoons of white vinegar in there. I swish it around a little bit, close the lid, let it sit for 5 minutes. Done. Rinse it out, put the water in, turn it on to boil. You can't even hear it. That's it. You can't even hear it. So vinegar will cut all hard water stains and messes. And now in your kitchen, you've got sponges that you use. Or if you use rags, throw them out, you know, put them in to drain, to dry, and then to wash. But the sponges, we have a rule of thumb. Whenever we use the dishwasher, when we use the dishwasher once a week, and that's only for the large things, we put the sponges in there. Because the dishwasher cleans and sterilizes the sponges. And we use the drying aspect of the dishwasher. So the dishes are washed and rinsed, and then the drying comes on. And that's the heat, and that's what's going to finish off any bacteria or virus in the dishwasher. Let's see. So, again, you wash out all the drawers, all of that stuff. Wipe down all your appliances. Not just clean underneath, but wipe down the outsides of them. And I got a trick for you. If you have older refrigerators, dishwashers, clothes washer, dryer, anything like that, that has old crease marks on them or buff marks on them or, you know, like stains on the sides of them or something, there's ways to wipe that down without going crazy. I used to use acetone. I worked in an appliance store. And we would wash everything down with acetone. Acetone dissolves that stuff. The only problem is that if you wear rubber gloves and you use acetone, the gloves dissolve on you. So never mind all of that. Never mind all of that. All right, so the kitchen, and I'm sure there's things that I've missed. I mean, I could teach you how to clean the pots and pans properly, how to clean the silverware properly, all of that good stuff. You're going to have to use that. Use your own head. Your refrigerator. Not only do you have to clean the outside, you need to clean the inside. Open the refrigerator part. Take out everything from... You can do the door shelves first. Take everything out. Put it in the inside of the refrigerator. Take the shelves out of the door and wash those. Wash the inside of the door. Dry the shelves. Put them back in. Put the stuff back in it. And then, you know, you'll have to figure this out yourself, how you can move your stuff around. But you need to clean the inside of your refrigerator. Not just the two sides, but you got to clean the back all the way down to the bottom. Pull the vegetable tray out. Pull the meat tray out. Pull all the trays out at the bottom. Wash all of this down. I suggest, I don't use any soap in that area because I don't want any smell of soap or bleach or anything else on my food. So I just use hot water, not warm water, hot water in a rag. And I clean everything down. Then I dry it off and I put everything back in. And then I do the freezer section also. So the idea is you're cleaning everything. This is a once a year thing. And if you don't do this, you end up with all kinds of weird smells in your refrigerator. What is that smell? I don't remember ever owning something that smells like that. Well, that's because a bunch of the food that dripped went down to the back and the bottom of the refrigerator, went moved together, and is starting a breeding farm. All right, the refrigerator, fine, clean it. Sink needs to be cleaned. By the way, if you have a ceramic sink, be aware that some of the products that you use are dangerous on ceramics or fiberglass. If you have a stainless steel sink, it's easy to clean that. It's Ajax or Comet. Sprinkle a little water on the inside of it. Sprinkle some of the Comet. Use a rag. Use a sponge. Use the green weenie. Clean it, all of the stainless steel down. Rinse it off. You'll see the difference. Countertops, same thing. Now, where the sink sits into your counter, along the edge there, dirt accumulates over the year. You might want to use a toothbrush with some soap on it, some Lysol. Clean all the way around there. Clean the cracks. Clean the grooves. Look at the wall that your sink sits against. If you have a blind, like a window in front of there, and a blind up and down, that thing's filthy. Now, I understand there's some laundromats that will allow you to bring your blind. You put them in a sonic thing and clean them. Good, do that. That's supposed to be one here down the street I'm going to use. So the kitchen, it's important. And then clean the flooring the same way you clean the flooring in the laundry room. Go to your front room, dining room. And again, you start at the top. You start, look at the ceiling, make sure that's as clean as possible. Then look at the walls, make sure they're as clean as possible. If you want to, wash them down or wipe them down or whatever you have to do, do it. Move your furniture and vacuum. Vacuum well. And a lot of you have asthma and have other upper respiratory problems chronically. Well, it's usually because of environmental contaminants, and those get caught in the carpets. So if you got carpets, vacuum at least once a week. But this is spring cleaning. You really want to get it clean good. You know, you can also, there's this powder you buy, and it's basically baking soda with some smelly stuff in it, and you sprinkle it on the carpets. Now, Grandma used to take, not baking soda, but she used baking soda, but she also used cornstarch sometimes, and she sprinkled it on the carpet and then walk it in. Just get on it and do a shuffle and scrub it in. It just really, the kids would come out on our hands and knees and we'd move this and scrape this and press it in, and then she'd vacuum it up. course, you'd be vacuuming it up for the next 2 weeks, but it would absorb any moisture or humidity that was in the carpet or weird chunks of stuff and get suctioned up and cleaned. The furniture is important. Check the furniture. This is when the kids came out and we would take the cushions off the couch and start digging our little hands in and finding the quarters and the combs and the pocket knives that everybody has dropped over the year. So clean everything out. This stuff gets in there and it grows. We had one time in our car, we went to the desert. When we come back a year later, we're cleaning out the car and I took the rear seat off. And there was a horny toad living in there, and it had been there for a year. And it was living off all the crap that had been falling down there. That was astounding, but that was true. So this is now when you get to clean all of the stuff. Move your furniture, vacuum under your furniture. Do a visual first before you vacuum, so you're not vacuuming and all of a sudden you start hearing a penny or a quarter smack around inside your vacuum cleaner. Some vacuum cleaners, that'll break it. Any furniture you have in here that's wood, wipe it down. Do any kind of wood treatment, Murphy's wood oil, scratch guard, scratch cover, whatever you want to put on there. If you want to put Carnauba wax on there, whatever you want to put on your furniture, this is when you do it. And if you have any metal furniture, by the way, a lot of times these chrome-plated furniture, the chairs, couches, tables, the chrome starts to get bumps on it and starts to get, it's because it's rusting is what's happening, or it starts corroding. The best way to clean chrome is with 4-0 steel wool. Now, you're going to make a mess, so spread the newspaper right underneath, wherever you do this. 4-0 steel wool, and you scrub it with it. It's like scrubbing, polishing. It smooths it out. You know when your steel or your stainless or your chrome-plated stuff is done, it's smooth. So scrub it down like that, and then you could, to finish it, you would take a wax, even a car wax, and you polish it up with that. Go to the bathroom now. I mean, I don't mean that literally. I mean, go to your bathroom. This is what you're going to clean. You're going to start over again from the ceiling and work down. And everywhere you go, make sure you clean and sterilize doorknobs. And another point, your cell phone. A cell phone has more bacteria on it than a toilet that hasn't been cleaned in a week. Okay? That's disgusting, but that's real. You need to wipe down your cell phone as often as possible. One of the things you can do is get a box of these alcohol wipes. These little tiny, when you tear it open and you pull it out and you unfold it. Okay, alcohol wipes. And wipe down your cell phone at least once a week. Or if you have a hard line phone in the house, wipe that down. Things you touch, wipe down. Your television, wipe down. Your remote controls, wipe down. In the bathroom, the tubs, the sinks, the toilets, and I told you about Comet and Ajax, they're the best to use, but sometimes, like we have a tub that's fiberglass, you can't use Comet or Ajax on, you have to use a liquid cleanser. When you clean your toilet, you clean it inside the toilet and outside the toilet, everywhere you can reach. And then you reach around the wall where the feed line comes in for the toilet and you turn that valve off. You don't want water going in the toilet. And then you flush the toilet until the tank is as clean as empty as you can get it. And then you sprinkle cleanser inside of there. Bacteria build up like crazy inside the tank of a toilet. Scrub it down as best you can, every particle of it that you can in there. And I suggest you get these bleach tablets that you throw in the back of your toilet. I don't mean the ones that turn the water blue or any of that crap. I mean just simple bleach toilet, a bleached tablet. Throw it in there and use it. And I'll tell you, nowadays is the best time to use that. And it was driven home to me by a series of infections that occurred in Wuhan, China. The sewage was infecting people. Now, you put that in your toilet, in your back of your tank, and every time you flush your toilet, you're sending particles of chlorine into the sewage lines. So you're actually showing some responsibility for the society at large. And if everybody did that, the sewers would be pretty sterile. Oh, let's see. There's more things. And you have to wipe down. And here's the other thing. Anything that's chrome will corrode. And especially if you have hard water like we do up here. So you need to wash all the faucets, all the handles, clean them up good, and then dry them. Literally, we got one of those I forgot what it's called. It's a micro towel that my hands hate because my skin's so rough that sticks to it. Polish the chrome with that. It'll last long time. We've had the same faucet for 20 years. It looks brand new. It's because we don't let the hard water stains stay on there. It will corrode it. If you have a sliding glass door, vinegar. You want to clean it? I mean, if it's filthy with soap scum, just wash it down. And then a spritzer bottle with about half a cup of vinegar in it and fill it up with water. Spray the shower down with it. It'll dissolve all the hard water. Now, a lot of problems people have with their nozzles in the shower is the hard water or other chunks of stuff gets in there. So what you do is you take, instead of having to remove this and soak it in vinegar, you take a baggie, fill it up with vinegar, put the baggie up around the nozzle. So the nozzle's in the vinegar in the baggie, and wrap a tie wrap around that. Let it sit for a couple hours. Not overnight. Let it sit for a couple hours. And then you can take it off and move it around and turn the water on and rinse it out. And that's the easiest way to do that. Do not leave your toothbrushes. Don't leave toothbrushes sitting out. See, here's the sad thing. Your nose, if you can smell something, what you're smelling are microscopic particles of that thing, whatever that thing is. And in a bathroom, there are certain things that smell really bad. All of that is getting onto your toothbrushes if you leave your toothbrush out. They did a test. Stanford University did a test some years back. 100 out of 100 toothbrushes had excrement on them. So keep your toothbrushes in a cabinet. That's the best you can do. Well, not the best. You can keep them in a baggie, sealed. But keep them in a cabinet, out of the way. And once every week or so, what we do here is we take a shot glass, fill it with hydrogen peroxide, and put the toothbrush in it. You watch what happens. If that sucker starts bubbling like crazy, you've been brushing your teeth with a toxic brush. But that's how you clean it. Take a little cup, fill it with hydrogen peroxide, put the toothbrushes brushed down in it, and watch what happens. Okay, now we're going into the bedroom. Obviously, what you're going to do with the mattress itself. Now, you can have a $50 mattress or a $1,000 mattress. You need to do the same thing. The thing with the physical universe is, and when I say physical universe, I mean everything from a car to guns to clothing to a mattress to your windows to your shoes to a dresser. Everything in the physical universe has an expected lifespan, okay? Like a mattress, they say, will last you 10 years, and then you throw it away and buy a new one because you got so much body crud in there that it weighs twice what it weighed when you bought it. Well, that's true unless you take care of that particle of the physical universe to such a degree that you don't wear it out, such as a mattress. You wash your sheets weekly. First off, you have a mattress pad that goes on your mattress. I don't mean a plastic sheet. I mean a mattress pad. All right, this could be just a plain tight sheet with a little bit of foam padding on it or whatever you want to get. That will help protect the mattress from absorbing the dead skin and the weird things that fall off your body while you sleep. Every week, you wash your sheets and pad. And every week, you flip your mattress. You either go side to side or end to end. And so what I do is I'll flip it side to side the first week. Second week, I'll rotate it. So I'm now sleeping on the other side of the mattress. Next week, I will drop it down to the side and turn it over. So you see what I'm doing? So I don't sleep on the same part of the mattress every week in a row. And this makes this mattress, this is the $1,000 mattress we bought 20 years ago. To this day, it still looks the same. And it still feels the same. And what we do also is we steam clean it once a year. We got a little handheld steam cleaner we use to clean upholstery in a car or something, and we steam clean the mattress once a year. Air out your bedroom weekly if you can. That's the thing, is that the air outside has ozone. You ever let your cat out all day and when he comes in you smell him, he's like, my God, what's that smell? And I don't mean like he's been rolling in crap or something. I mean it's the ozone in the air. The air purifies things. So open up your bedroom, if no other room in the house, at least once a week. Even during the winter months, I'll do that. You should air out your house. This is the thing. When I lived on a reservation, when they did spring cleaning, it was nasty. They would open up the whole house. They would take all the carpets, all the bedding, everything, take it out to the clothes racks, and then they'd have these weird, I don't know what you would call them. They were like brooms. They were switches. They were things you beat the stuff with, or even a broomstick. You would beat the mattresses. You would beat the carpets. You would beat them, get all the dust out, get all the mites out, and air them out. And they would, it's called sun washing. Grandma would call it sun washing. And they'd leave all that stuff out there. And it'd be different. It'd smell like ozone when they got done. It was neat. You dust everything in your bedroom. Everything. You dust your dressers. You clean them out. Take everything out of the drawers. Wipe them out. Put everything back. Move the furniture away from the wall. Make sure you clean the wall if it has to be cleaned, or wipe it down. Even dry rag if you have to. Vacuum everything. Put everything back. Sometimes this is the best time to rearrange your furniture if you want. To clean your bed and the area of the bed perfectly, you lift your mattress and box springs off. And if you can stand up your frame, you do so. And then you go underneath and you vacuum really well the carpet or wash the flooring very well underneath of the bed. This is the parts that never get cleaned. So any nightstands you have sitting around, clean them. Do the same thing like that. Use a dirty clothes basket in your bedroom. Do not leave your dirty clothes on the floor. Again, things start growing there. Some spider will go, you know, that looks like a nice home. And they don't need more than a few hours, and they'll set up home there. And up here, we have some very nasty spiders. Some of these bites can kill you. So you want to keep things as clean as possible. And that goes for your pets, too, that you bring inside the house. Now, we have a shampoo that we sell here. It's five-star shampoo. It is hypoallergenic. It's natural. It's really nice shampoo. It acts almost like a conditioner as well. I use it for animal shampoo. I put tea tree oil in it, and I wash the cat. It's inevitable. He's almost 6 years old, and he's had five baths so far. And because I'm the alpha cat, he allows me to do it. But you can wash. It doesn't matter if you have dogs or cats or something. They bring stuff in. They need to be cleaned as well. Not every day, not every week, not every month. But when you use any kind of shampoo, you know, you want to go buy a pet shampoo, that's fine. But then you buy some tea tree oil and you add to that. Not a lot, but you add to that. And what the tea tree does, it kills pests, it kills lice, it kills fleas, it kills ticks, and it keeps them off of the animals for a while. So you wash your animals, and that's a thing with people who have asthma or allergies to cats or dogs or what have you. They don't have an allergy to the dog. They have the allergy to what the dog carries on its fur. So you wash them as well. And there are different things you can do with Pine Sol and with Lysol and with bleach and water. And these are things that you're going to find out. And I'm going to have links to all of this stuff. That's the big thing, is I'm going to have links to all of this stuff so that you're able to figure it out yourself. This is vital. This is not pretend. You need to keep your body clean. You need to wash your hands at least half a dozen times a day. And then put some moisturizer on. We have that Handy Guard here. This is that special sterilizer for your hands. You know, I wash my hands, I let them dry, and then I go, and then I rub this stuff in. All right. In fact, if you've ever met me, I'm kind of bald, so I use the stuff on my head also. I'll wipe it onto my head, and it moisturizes. Anyway, I hope I gave you a lot of information. I know I gave you a lot of information. I hope I gave you some stuff that you can use. I do this because I want you to survive. And I want you to be able to tell other people how to survive. So I can't think of anything else other than our number is 800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. SE1, Samuel Edwards, the numeral 1, SE1.us is our website. Go there, look at the stuff that I've talked about in my past few shows, and buy some. And then, by the way, anything else you think you need, never mind buying it for me, you know, but don't wait till the later part of the day. Stores get their orders in at night, and they're offloaded during the morning hours. So if you want, like Costco, you want toilet paper, you better get there at opening at 10 o'clock. This is the Armchair Survivalist. Keep your nose in the air and your ear to the ground. And I hope I see you next week.